I want to ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the little book called Philemon. Philemon. It is in your New Testament. And as I've been preaching through the books of the Bible, I have come to Philemon, and I want to read one verse of Scripture from Philemon. It'd be interesting to know this morning if we were to pause for a moment and I just were to ask, all right, tell me what you know about Philemon. What kind of response we might have. It's not one of those books that probably most people read a lot, but yet it is a book that is inspired by God. And because it's in our Bible, it has something to say to us, and I pray that God will use it today. And I just want to read one verse of Scripture, Philemon, verse 6. If you ask me which chapter, you have not found the book yet. Philemon, verse 6. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? I want to read one verse of Scripture. This is what it says. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of sharing your faith. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the opportunity today to be in this room. God, we thank you today that we've been able to sing about the cross. We've been singing about Jesus and the blood that he shed for us. And Lord, even as we think about the Lord's Supper that we will observe here in a little bit, God, we thank you for what you did for us a long time ago on a hillside outside the city of Jerusalem, where you gave your very best and more than we deserved in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, God, today that he has been lifted up in our music, and I pray that he'll be lifted up in this message. So please speak to our hearts, for I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It wasn't many years ago. It was the week before Christmas. And I was looking for an opportunity to share my faith with someone who did not know him as their Savior. I had the name of a young family. It was a mom and a dad and two young girls. And I had their name on a card and an address on the card, so I got in my truck and I drove to where they lived. They lived in a motor home not far from here. And I remember I was by myself that particular night. I pulled into the driveway and got out of my truck and I walked up to that motor home. I remember there were some Christmas lights, a single strand of Christmas lights that were draped over the door as I knocked upon the door. I was graciously received, invited into the home, and I walked into the house of this young couple, and I sat down in their living room and began to talk with them. And then as the conversation turned more serious toward the gospel, the mother said to their two little girls, "Girls, would you please go to your room and you can play in your room?" And so the two little girls disappeared down the hallway, and I sat in the living room with this young couple. And I remember that night I looked at them and I asked them this question. I said, "In your personal opinion, what do you believe it takes for a person to have eternal life and go to heaven when they die?" And they gave me some kind of an answer that I don't remember all of it, but I do remember saying to them, "Could I share with you how the Bible answers that question?" And they said yes. And I pulled out my hand and I said to them something like this. I said, "There is a Bible word that can help us to understand how to have eternal life and go to heaven when we die. And that word is faith." And I spelled it out on my finger, F-A-I-T-H. H. And I said, every one of those letters stands for something. And I remember looking at them and I said to them, first of all, F. F is for forgiveness. Everyone has sinned and needs God's forgiveness. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ only. The Bible also says, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And then I went on that day and I talked to them about F is for forgiveness, A is for available, I is for impossible, T is for turn, and H is for heaven. And if you will place your faith in Jesus Christ, then heaven can be your eternal destiny. When I got through with that simple presentation, I looked at that young couple and I said, is there any reason why you would not be willing to place your faith in Jesus Christ tonight? And both of them looked at me and said, no. I said, would you pray with me to receive Jesus as your Savior? And they said, yes. We bowed our heads there in that humble home and we began to pray. I prayed out loud and they prayed after me, and I said a little phrase and they said a little phrase in stereo, and they prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. When we were through praying and we said amen, I remember I looked up and those two little girls were no longer back in the bedroom playing. Those two little girls had made their way back down that hallway and they were standing beside me. I don't remember the names of those two little girls, both of their names. I remember the name of the oldest girl, and her name was Angel. And whenever we said amen, we looked up. Those two little girls, after hearing their mom and their dad pray to receive God's forgiveness, both of them began to clap that their mom and dad had prayed for salvation. I dismissed myself from that little home. I walked back to my truck, and I sat down there in the truck. And I remembered that little girl named Angel standing there clapping after her mom and dad had prayed to receive Christ with her sister. And I remember Jesus telling the story about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost boy. And I remember Jesus saying something like this. He says, there is rejoicing in the presence of God and his angels whenever one sinner repents. And I thought to myself as I cranked up my truck and pulled out of that driveway, just as that little angel, little girl, stood there applauding for her mom and dad, in the presence of Almighty God, the angels of heaven were celebrating the fact that mom and dad had prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. That brings me to the story of Philemon. And you may be thinking, well, I don't understand the connection. Well, I hope you will before I'm through. Because really the message of Philemon is the message of forgiveness. F is for forgiveness. All of us need God's forgiveness. But when you come to Philemon, it may be a book that perhaps you've never read, or maybe while I gave that introduction, you read it just now. But it is the shortest and probably the least known of all the writings of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, many have often said that of the letters of the Apostle Paul, this one is so short that you could call it a postcard. I think that's true. One chapter, 25 verses, 345 words. It is rather short. It is the only letter of the Apostle Paul that was written to a layman. If you know something about his writings, you know that Paul oftentimes wrote to churches, the church at Rome, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, and so forth. You might also know that sometimes he wrote to groups of churches. Whenever you have the book in your Bible called Galatians, it is written to a group of churches in an area known as Galatia. It is what is sometimes called a circular letter, that it was sent to this church and then it was sent to that church and that church. But we know that sometimes he wrote to groups of churches. We know that sometimes he wrote to pastors. In the last few weeks, we've looked at Timothy and we've looked at Titus, and both of them were pastors, Timothy there at the church at Ephesus and Titus on the island of Crete. But this is the only letter written by the Apostle Paul that was written to a layman. He's not a pastor, and it's certainly not a church. And although you may not have read it, you may not have studied it, you may not know much about it, it is a fascinating book. I share some quotes with you today from some Bible scholars. Ernest Renan says he called it a masterpiece of letter writing. Jerry Vines called it a gospel masterpiece. Ken Hughes says it is the most brilliantly nuanced, compelling letter of reconciliation in ancient history. I think the best way for me to introduce you to the book called Philemon is to introduce you to the three main characters in the book. So listen to the three main characters in the book. First of all, let me introduce you to Philemon, who is oftentimes given this tag, the refreshing saint. This book in your Bible called Philemon is addressed to a man who was a businessman by the name of Philemon. He lived in the little city called Colossae. Now, he was in Colossae. The Apostle Paul never visited Colossae, as far as we know. As a matter of fact, whenever he writes to the Colossians, that in your Bible, the book of Colossians, as we call it, he says to them, he said, you've never seen my face. So he evidently had never been there. But in Colossae was this businessman named Philemon. About 125 miles away was another city that you may know well called Ephesus. And Paul did visit Ephesus. He founded a church in Ephesus. He pastored there for 3 years. And so evidently while Philemon was in Colossae, he heard that Paul was in Ephesus, and he made the 125 mile trip to Ephesus. Why would he go to Ephesus? Because he'd heard of the preaching of Paul. He had heard about the miracles that were being performed. He heard about the demons that were being exorcised. He heard about the books that were being burned. And so he made the trip and he went to Ephesus, and there he met the Apostle Paul. And what do you think Paul did to said when he saw Philemon? He probably said something like this: "Do you know for certain that you have eternal life and you'll go to heaven when you die?" I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but we do know that Paul introduced Philemon to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed his life. And Philemon became a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, whenever he made the 125-mile trip back to Colossae, back to his home, he began to be active in sharing his faith. Now, who did he share his faith with? His family. As a matter of fact, I did not read the opening verses of Philemon chapter 1, but you'll find in verse 2, it talks about a person by the name of Apphia that is believed to be his wife. And then there's also one by the name of Archippus, and verse 2 also, that is believed to be his son. I believe that whenever Philemon got back to the city of Colossae, the first thing he did was he told his wife and he told his son about Jesus Christ. I think that's the way it works, folks. I think once you meet Jesus, you want others to meet Jesus, and you'll probably start with your family wanting them to meet Jesus. So he's actively sharing his faith. And not only that, but there were others that were led to Christ. And along the way, there was a church that began, and the church met in a house, and the church met in Philemon's house. He was evidently not only a businessman, but he was a successful businessman, and he had a large enough house that the entire church could meet there in his house. So that's who the letter is addressed to, is addressed to Philemon, who is a refreshing saint. The second character that you need to meet is a character by the name of Onesimus. And Onesimus carries this title with him. He is a runaway slave. He's not mentioned in the book of Philemon until you get down to verse 10. If you still have your Bible open there, that's whenever you're introduced to him. And so you might ask the question, well, what's the connection between Philemon and Onesimus? Listen, or you're going to miss the point. Onesimus was the slave of Philemon. That's the connection. In the Roman Empire, slavery was prevalent everywhere, and there were many people who had slaves. And many of the slaves were very well educated, many of them were very well to do, many of them were very well taken care of. Perhaps some of them were not, but we know that Philemon, a successful businessman, he has a slave by the name of Onesimus. But what happened was, Onesimus evidently stole some money from Philemon, and he ran away to Rome. Now he is a thief, he is a runaway, and he's in big trouble. Because if you were a runaway slave and you were captured as a runaway slave, number one, because the slaves were looked upon as being like property, if Philemon wants to, he could have him killed. If he wants to, he could have him beaten. If he wants to, he could have him branded with an F on his body. And the F does not stand for forgiveness. It stands for fugitive. And so now you see how the story thickens, because Onesimus, who was a slave of Philemon, he runs away, he takes the money, he goes to Rome, which many runaway slaves probably did because of the large population in Rome. He'd be able to blend in with the crowd perhaps. And so now he runs away and he goes to Rome. A strange thing happens when he gets to Rome. The Apostle Paul is no longer in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul is now in Rome. And somehow, some way, we don't know how it all happened, somehow Onesimus ended up meeting Paul. And what did Paul do? Paul shared his faith. And he led Onesimus to faith in Jesus Christ. And so Onesimus now, he's a runaway slave, he's in big trouble, but now he's somebody who is now a believer in Jesus Christ, and he becomes a servant to the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul says, he's very profitable to me, he's a big help to me. But if you're staying with me, there's a third character that you need to meet. And the third character in the story of Philemon is this man by the name of Paul. And we give him this tag, Paul is also a redemptive soul winner who is active in sharing his faith. And so the connection between Philemon and Onesimus is Paul the Apostle. Because Paul led Philemon to Jesus Christ when he was in Ephesus. He led Onesimus to Christ whenever he was in Rome. And so now what you have is both Philemon and Onesimus now are believers in Christ. So you have a master and a slave who are now brothers in Jesus Christ. And so what Paul does, he says, well, I'm going to tell you the right thing to do. And so he addresses both of them. And I think he probably said to Onesimus something like this. All right, it's wonderful that your sins have been forgiven. It's wonderful that now you're a child of God, but you need to go back to Colossae, you need to go back to Philemon, and you need to make things right with him. You need to go back to him because you're a runaway slave. You need to go back to him because you've stolen some of his money. You need to go back and make things right. But he also now writes this letter and sends it not only with Onesimus, but another guy by the name of Tychicus that we learn about in the book of Galatians, I believe it is. He sends the letter back and he gives this advice to Philemon. He says, Onesimus is now your brother in Jesus Christ. And when he comes back and he offers to repay you and he apologizes for what he's done, what you need to do is you need to accept his apology. You need to offer him forgiveness. You need to demonstrate your faith in Jesus Christ because he is now your brother. As a matter of fact, Paul says something like this when he writes to him. He said, I'm not saying this as an apostle. This is not a command, although I have the authority to command you to. He said, I'm appealing, and this is found in verses 8 and 9, I believe. He said, now I'm asking you to forgive him, not because I commanded it to you, but because of your love for him and because it's the right thing to do. So he says to him, now you need to go back home. So what you have, three characters that we've looked at: Philemon, who is this very successful businessman who's come to know Christ. You have Onesimus, who's a runaway slave who's come to know Christ. And you have the Apostle Paul, who's trying to get these two men to reconcile and be back together as brothers in Christ. Which brings me to my text. Look at verse 6. I read this to you however many minutes ago. I don't know. So anyway, he now comes to verse 6. And whenever you read it in the King James text that I'm reading out of, he says to Philemon that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Whenever you read that text, the word communication is actually a Greek word that you may be familiar with. It is a Greek word, koinonia. It is a word that means to share. It is a word that means to have in common. The communication of your faith, that it might be effectual. The word effectual is that it might be powerful. Here's what he's saying to Philemon. He's saying, Philemon, you have an opportunity to be a powerful testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why whenever you read this verse in the New International Version, and I think this may be the only version of the scripture that is translated like this, but those in the New International translates it like this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Paul said to Philemon, I'm praying that you will be active in sharing your faith. Now, if you don't hear anything else I'm saying this morning, I want you to hear this. This is my prayer for you in 2022. I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith. 2021, I declared a year ago as the year of the Bible. 2022, I'm saying to you today, is the year of evangelism. What is evangelism? It is the compassionate sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit for the express purpose of leading men and women to faith in Jesus Christ. It is the compassionate sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit for the express purpose of leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. I am praying that you will be active in sharing your faith. How are you going to do that? Two simple ways. I will share them with you quickly today. Here is the lesson from Philemon in sharing your faith, and how I think the Apostle Paul wanted Philemon to share his faith. Number one, demonstrate your faith. Demonstrate your faith. Let me go back to Philemon for just the letter for just a moment. Philemon is a letter from the Apostle Paul to a man by the name of Philemon. And I would also say to you that it is a private letter that is a communication, if you will, between Paul the Apostle and Philemon the businessman. And what I've said to you is Paul is encouraging Philemon to forgive Onesimus. It is not a mandate, according to verse 9. It is a plea from love from one brother to another brother, that regardless of your situation or relationship as being a master and a slave, forget about that. You are brothers in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice this. Whenever you read the beginning of the letter, I said to you in verse 2, this letter is not only addressed to Philemon, it's addressed to his wife. This letter is not only addressed to his wife, it's also addressed to his son. But if you'll read the beginning of the letter, it's not only addressed to Philemon, to his wife, and to his son. The Bible also says it's addressed to the church that meets in your house. So what I'm saying to you today, this is a private letter that has become a very public letter now. Everybody is reading Philemon's mail. Everybody knows. And so it is a letter that is an open letter now. It is a letter that was read to the entire church. It is a letter that has been read down through the generation. It's a letter that here we are, January the 2nd, 2022, and we're still reading Philemon's mail from the Apostle Paul. And so what I'm saying to you today is that everybody knows what Paul has said to Philemon and what Paul is asking him to do. And so now the whole world is watching to see what is Philemon going to do. Is he going to forgive Onesimus? Is he going to follow the advice of the Apostle Paul? Is he going to repent of being a thief and a runaway slave? And as he does, will Philemon forgive him? Will he measure up to the lofty description? I don't have time to read, but in the beginning of the letter, Paul talks about how he's a beloved man, how he's a faithful man, how he's a fellow laborer, how he's an encourager, all these things he's said about him. And now they're watching to see, Philemon, what are you going to do? Here's my point to you today. If you claim to be a Christian today, if you would say to me, Pastor, I know for certain that I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven when I die, I want you to know the whole world is watching you. They're watching you to see whether or not you live up to what you profess. Your family's watching you. Your spouse is watching you. Your children that you're raising are watching you. Your grandchildren that maybe you keep from time to time, they're watching you. Your family is watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. They know whether your car pulled out of the driveway to go to church this morning or not. They may look in your recycle bin and see what kind of cans you have in the recycle bin. They're watching you. The people that you go to school with, young people, they're watching you. The people that you work with, you adults, the people, they're watching you. And they hear what you say. And they watch what you do. They see how you dress. They notice what you drink. They listen to the jokes that you tell. They are watching you, and they want to know, they're wanting to know, do you live up to what you profess as a child of God? Man, I heard a story years ago about a lady who was a believer in Christ, but her husband was not a Christian. And one Sunday at the close of the service, maybe a pastor was preaching something like this about sharing your faith. But during the invitation time, the pastor was standing down at the altar area, and this woman came walking down the aisle. She took her pastor by the hand, and she began to share with him the burden that she had for her husband. She said, my husband is not saved, and I'd like for my husband to get saved. Evidently, the pastor knew the lady quite well and said to her, because he knew something about her life and her lifestyle, and he said something to her like, well, I doubt that your husband will ever come to know Christ until you start living differently in front of him. And instead of getting mad at her pastor, she got on her knees and she talked to the master and she recommitted her life to Christ. And she went back home and she started living her Christian life. A few months passed and her husband started coming to church with her. A few more months passed and finally she was able to lead her husband to faith in Christ. And when all was said and done, she turned to her husband one day and she said, what took you so long to give your heart to Christ? Here's what he said. I've been watching you. And you talked like I talk. And you went where I went. And you watched what I watched. And you drank what I drank. And I could not see any difference between your life and mine. and suddenly you changed. And it's when I saw the change in your life that it registered with my heart, and that's when he gave his heart to Christ. Listen to this. I'll talk about this in a couple of weeks whenever we get to James, but I'm going to tell you this up front. If Christ is on the inside, he will show on the outside. That's what that man was saying. Christ on the outside will, on the inside will reflect on the outside. Dr. Warren Wiersbe heard this in his commentary many years ago. He said, you are writing a gospel, a chapter every day, in deeds that you do and in words that you say. People read what you write, whether it's false or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? I'm simply saying to you this morning that whenever you talk about sharing your faith in 2022, one of the ways that you share your faith is by the demonstration of your life, by living what you profess to believe. I believe there'd be a whole lot more people in this world who'd give their hearts to Christ if they could see the Christ who lives in you. I've said this many times from this pulpit. I think it's still true today. The problem in our world today is not that lost people act like lost people. The problem in our world today is saved people who don't act like saved people. I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith. And one way that you do that is by the demonstration of your faith. Secondly, notice this. I also want to encourage you in sharing your faith in 2021 that you would also declare your faith. I think whenever Paul wrote to Philemon, he wasn't just saying to him, I want you to act like this or live like this. I think what he was saying was, I want you to verbalize your faith. Perhaps he was wanting Philemon to say something like this, Onesimus, I forgive you for stealing from me. Maybe he was wanting him to say, Onesimus, I forgive you for running away back whenever you did. Perhaps he's wanting him to say, Onesimus, I receive you as my brother in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, maybe he was wanting him to say, Onesimus, if Christ forgave me, how can I not forgive you? As a matter of fact, that sounds pretty biblical, does it not? Because how in the world can we not forgive others whenever we have been forgiven of so much? So I think what he was trying to do, he was trying to say to him, and I hope you'll listen to this point today, because it's not enough just to demonstrate your faith. That's wonderful, and it's necessary, and it's important. But you need also to declare your faith. It was Francis of Assisi who famously said, you've heard this before, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. I want you to hear that quote. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. May I say to you, words are always necessary. Living the life, demonstrating the life, is not an excuse to not declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Use words if necessary. Words are always necessary. And listen, it's impossible to share the gospel if you don't use words. Amen. Here's what I'm going to say to you today. As a matter of fact, some people have actually confronted that quote and said, Francis of Assisi really never said that. I hope that part is true. But here's the problem. If you demonstrate it, but you don't declare it, here's the problem. A demonstration of faith without a declaration of faith will attract people to follow you rather than to follow Jesus. If all you do is demonstrate it, people are going to look at you and say, why, isn't he a wonderful man? Isn't she a fantastic lady? Isn't he a godly young man? If they look at you, they're going to be attracted to you. So that's why you not only demonstrate it, you declare it by telling the reason why you live the way you live. And the reason why you live the way you live is because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You declare the gospel. You have to declare the gospel. The words are always necessary. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That is, how are they going to hear except somebody tells them the gospel, unless somebody says to them, "This is the message that changed my life, and this is the message that can change your life." So in 2022, the year of evangelism, I recommit myself to training you how to share your faith. If we're going to say to people, "I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith," I think it's necessary to help people to know how to share their faith. So in 2022, you're going to have three opportunities to learn how to share your faith. Listen carefully. I want to help you to learn how to share your faith in three ways. And by the way, that's all it is. It's an opportunity. I cannot make you come to any kind of a training at all. I can give you an opportunity. So here's what I want to submit to you today. How are you going to share your faith? How are you going to declare your faith? Number one, you can share your faith by sharing your testimony. Hear me carefully. Every Christian has a testimony. Now, they're not all the same, but every Christian has a testimony. What is a testimony? Your testimony is how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So your testimony is a powerful way of sharing your faith. You remember in the book of Acts, three times the testimony of the Apostle Paul is recorded. It is recorded in chapter 9, where it actually happened, and then later on in chapter 22, I think chapter 26, don't hold me to that, somewhere in there. There are two other times that the Apostle Paul shares his testimony. Paul loved to share his testimony. Paul loved to tell people, "Hey, I was on the road to Damascus one day, and here's what happened to me. Here's how I met Christ as my Savior." I've said oftentimes, Paul's one of those guys who would share his testimony at the drop of a hat and drop his own hat if he needed to. Share your testimony. Tell somebody how Christ changed your life. That's one way you can share your faith. There's a second way that you can share your faith, and that is also you can share your faith by learning a gospel presentation. A gospel presentation. What is that? Well, that's just kind of like I began the message today with sitting down with that young couple in their living room and shared with them a faith gospel presentation, F-A-I-T-H, be able to share a gospel presentation. And there's many of them. Through the years, people like me and probably several of you in this room today, I remember whenever evangelism explosion came out, I learned that gospel presentation. I remember whenever continuous witness training came out, I learned that gospel presentation. I remember whenever faith evangelism came out, I learned that gospel presentation. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There's no bad way to share the gospel. Just learn some way of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, for those who are gray-haired or no-haired like me in the room today, the Roman road is a gospel presentation. So learn how to share your faith with your testimony. Learn how to share your faith with a gospel presentation. Thirdly, I'm going to teach you how to share your faith by sharing a gospel tract. That is just a little booklet or a little card that will allow you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I remember whenever a gospel tract came out, some of y'all will as well, it was called The Four Spiritual Laws. Y'all remember The Four Spiritual Laws? Just a little booklet to tell someone, share with someone how they can trust Christ as Savior. A little later, another gospel tract came out that we still have today called The Eternal Life Tract, that little blue tract. We still have them around here. Just a gospel tract. I carry my business card with me. I've shared it many times. I have my name on the front. On the back of it, I have what I call four musts. It's just a simple way that I can give this card to somebody and say, "Here, this is my business card. My name's on the front, Keith Russell. I'm not very important. But on the back, it tells you how to be saved. That's really important." And you can share that as a way of helping somebody come to know Christ as Savior. As a matter of fact, whenever you look at that, you might say, well, I don't know that I could ever learn a presentation. I don't even know that I can know how to give my testimony. But I'm going to tell you what, if you have a booklet that I can just read that booklet, then I can do that. As somebody has said, if you can read, you can lead. I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith. How are you going to do that? You're going to demonstrate your faith in 2022 by the way that you live. You're going to let this lost world that's watching you and they're listening to you, you're going to let them know by the way that you live that Jesus Christ is real. And you're not somebody on Sunday morning and somebody else on Thursday night. Demonstrate your faith. Number two, I'm praying you're going to share your faith by declaring your faith, that you're going to learn some kind of a way, whether it's your testimony, a gospel presentation, a gospel tract, but somehow that you're going to actually be active in sharing your faith, and that from time to time somebody will come up to you and say to you, who have you talked to about Jesus lately? That you'll have a story to tell how you've tried to share gospel with somebody else. Paul said to Philemon, I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith, that the communication of your faith will be effectual, that it will be powerful. That's my prayer for you in 2022. Now here's the question of the day. I introduced to you three characters at the beginning. You remember? Philemon, a refreshing saint. Onesimus, a runaway slave, and the Apostle Paul, who's this redemptive soul winner. And Paul writes Philemon this letter that he addresses to his wife, he addresses it to his son, he addresses it to the church, and says to him, Philemon, I want you to forgive Onesimus for stealing from you and running away from you. I'm telling you, you need to forgive him as a brother in Christ. Here's the question. Did Philemon forgive Onesimus? The Bible doesn't say. He doesn't tell us, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. We don't know. It's not written down whether or not Philemon ever did what Paul asked him to do. But I'm going to tell you my opinion. My opinion is, Philemon did forgive Onesimus. And I'll tell you my reason. Because if he had not, I doubt very seriously that that book would be in your Bible today. I think somebody would have said, no, that doesn't go in the Bible, the canon as we call it, because he was not willing to forgive, but I think he did. So I have two questions for you today, and I'm done. Two questions for you. The first question is this. Have you received God's forgiveness? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sin? Has there been a time and a place in your life whenever you by faith have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, be your Savior and your Lord? That word forgiveness, by the way, is one of the most beautiful words in all the New Testament. If you were to take that little word forgiveness and you were to put it as somebody who had a debt that needed to be paid, that little forgiveness word is a word that is like somebody taking a stamp on your debt, placing it upon it, and it says, paid in full. That's what forgiveness means. If you were to take that little word forgiveness and take it into a court of law, that little word forgiveness would be like the judge after hearing all the case that he pounds the gavel and says, not guilty. That's what forgiveness means. Friend, listen, if you have received God's forgiveness, your sin debt has been paid in full and you are not guilty. You are bound for the promised land, as the old psalm said. Has that ever happened to you? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that you're bound for heaven? Here's my second question. Will you be active in sharing your faith? Will you demonstrate it to a lost world? Will you declare it to a listening world? Will you be active in not just demonstrating it, but declaring your faith in Jesus Christ? It's an old statistic. I don't know if it's still true today, but I remember years ago I heard someone say something like this. 95% of all professing Christians never share their faith with someone else. Now, if that's not still accurate, it's probably real close. Because most people who sit in pews and chairs on Sunday morning will come Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and never share their faith with anyone. Good people, but never share their faith. My prayer is that you'll be active in sharing your faith. And if somebody were to say, well, why do they not share their faith? I think there's at least two reasons. There's probably more, but there's at least two. Number one, I think one of the reasons why is because many people just say, I don't know what to say. Isn't that right? A lot of people say, I don't know what. I mean, if someone were to come to you and just be very open with you and say, hey, listen, I'm not a Christian. I'd like to become one. How can I become a Christian? There are many people, probably some of you sitting in this room right now, you wouldn't know what to say. You wouldn't know where to begin. You wouldn't know how to start. That's what I'm saying I'm going to help you with in 2022. I can help you learn what to say. If that's your problem, I can help you with that, to know how to declare your faith. But there's a second reason why I think many people never share their faith. Are you listening? I think the second reason why many people never share their faith is because they're not sure they're saved themselves. They're not really confident in their own faith, and sometimes many of them know that they're probably not saved. I can help you with that too, because today, right here, right now, you can open up the door of your heart and you can ask Jesus Christ to come in your life and be your Savior. And you can know F is for forgiveness and know that you've been forgiven of your sin. So how about we start right there? If you're going to be active in sharing your faith, the first thing you need is to know for certain that you have eternal life. I'm asking you today, if I were sitting with you face to face, one on one, I'm asking you, do you know for certain that you have eternal life and you'll go to heaven when you die? If you cannot say emphatically yes today, give your heart to Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? All across this room right now, if today you say, Pastor, I need to know for certain that I have eternal life. I want to know that heaven is my home. I want to start this year on the right note with an assurance that I've never had before. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray this silently in your heart. But I'm going to ask you to pray it with all of your heart. Don't pray it if you don't mean it. Nothing magical happens by saying words that you really don't mean. But if you today say, I'd like to know for certain that I have eternal life, pray something like this. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on a cross for my sin. I believe you rose again from the dead. And right now, I turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life. Please forgive me of my sin and be my Savior today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Please help me every day to live for you.